By any measure, it was a remarkable discovery. Researchers at UMass Medical School in Worcester announced they'd found a way to shut down the extra chromosome that causes the developmental problems of people with Down syndrome.
This was a high-risk project.
Dr. Jeannie Lawrence is the scientist behind the research.
We were fortunate to get funding for high-risk, high-impact work. Collectively, there were several reasons why it just might not work.
For one, there was always the threat of technical issues. She was working with human cells grown in laboratory dishes. Still, her team was able to suppress the extra chromosome that causes intellectual disabilities, dropping jaws throughout the scientific community and providing parents of those with Down syndrome a glimmer of hope. It was all supported with three grants from the National Institutes of Health, an agency of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. In Washington, some lawmakers want to reduce federal spending on any scientific research unless it promotes national security or economic development, putting what they believe are high-risk, non-essential projects in jeopardy.
There's a philosophical divide in this country.
Speaking on the Senate floor in March, Republican Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma sought to slash even more money shortly after across-the-board federal spending cuts went into effect.
The federal government over the last 10 years has grown 89%, while the average median family income has declined 5%. And the reason my colleagues want sequester to hurt and be painful is they want to rationalize that bigger government is better and that we can't afford to cut a penny out of the federal budget. And so what we do is the federal government doing less with more money while every American is doing more with less money.
Coburn and his supporters succeeded in part when they targeted social sciences and Congress voted to cut funding for any political science research.
It never ends.
That's economist and higher ed consultant Bill Massey. He says there are too many political leaders like Coburn who don't understand the full potential of scientific research.
If we really did a good job of imparting a serious understanding of science in most, if not all, undergraduates, we would be having a much easier time now. We're playing catch up now.
As vice provost for research at Stanford in the 1970s, one of Massey's jobs was to secure funding for all kinds of research. Then, as now, the federal government was the crucial player when it came to funding natural and social science.
In terms of the magnitude of the dollars, there's just no other player out there that could reach that kind of critical mass.
And Massey argues the U.S. needs to reinvest in research to remain competitive with China and India, Qatar and Singapore, all of which are making huge investments in their higher ed systems. In the U.S., the National Institutes of Health funds only 1 in 20 of the grants it receives. That scarcity of funding concerns Dr. Terrence Flott, the dean of the UMass School of Medicine.
That kind of conservative approach will hamper us from being innovative in the near term.
Flott says across-the-board federal spending cuts threaten to choke off future academic research and to lose the next generation of young scientists.
You can't just repopulate a biomedical science research community overnight. People are driven out of research, and the people with those talents go into other fields, professions, and they don't come back.
How vital is federal spending in higher ed? At UMass Medical School, the government provides 85% of its research funding.
It is the lifeline to research.
And Flott says the U.S. is at risk of blocking the flow of its best brain power at a time when this kind of research could yield more and more dividends. On campus, I'm Kirk Carapeza, WGBH, Boston Public Radio.